a baby in a manger at Christmas. Can you imagine on November 25th, exactly a month before Christmas, a baby was born and about 5 hours later placed in a manger at a New York City church. Talk about a New York Christmas. The church, the Holy Child of Jesus, Roman Catholic Church in Richmond Hill, in the Richmond Hill section of Queens. The church, named for the baby Jesus, had just built its nativity scene for Advent and Christmas. A 19-year-old girl, presumably unwed, probably not much older than Mary, brought her 5-pound newborn baby boy into the church and placed him in the manger. The crying baby was found not by the pastor, not by city officials. The baby was found by the custodian. About the closest thing to a shepherd you're going to find in Queens. Friends, you can't make this stuff up. The baby is healthy. The mother will not be charged with abandonment. The baby will enter into foster care. Don't you wonder, could God be added again? For its part, the church appears to be responding. I don't know if they've had an opportunity to reach out to the young mother. Her name has not been released. However, they have not judged her and have embraced the baby as their own. Speaking to ABC News, the pastor of the congregation summed it up this way. God has a way of working mysteriously because I believe when this woman who came in with this child saw this creche, this empty home, this home in which we'll welcome Jesus in just a few short weeks, I believe she found in it a home for her child. I have no doubt if something similar should happen to us, our congregation would respond much the same way. Like the Church of the Holy Child of Jesus, we are a congregation that seeks to welcome everyone without judgment. Catherine Mooney, a member of the church for more than 30 years, suggested it was this welcoming spirit which led the young woman to their church. It's a tragedy in the woman's life, she said, but for the baby, we feel that only good things will happen now. Friends, I have no doubt in a similar situation, we would do the same. But I wanted to share this story with you because though Advent has seemed especially dark this year, with so many tragic stories near and far, there are those looking to us, the church, to be a light shining in that darkness, a place where the hopeless may turn for hope. The Magnificat, Mary's song, is a song of hope. Like the song of Miriam, sung on the shores of the Red Sea when Pharaoh's army was swallowed up and the people of Israel were saved. Or the song of Hannah, sung when she dedicated to the Lord her son Samuel, the first great prophet of God. Or the song of Zechariah, sung at the birth of his son, John the Baptist. Mary's song is sung in response to God's great work of salvation. God has claimed and blessed Mary's life. She shall be the mother of God's Son. Her child will be the Savior of God's people. When this good news proclaimed by the angel Gabriel sinks in, when her blessing is confirmed by a visit to her cousin Elizabeth,
Mary breaks forth in song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of His servant. A young, poor Palestinian girl, Mary, is given a part in God's great work of salvation. For this, she gives praise and thanks to God. For this, she sings a song of hope. Those who are lowly, she sings, shall be exalted. Those who are empty shall be filled. Those who are hurt shall be healed. Those who mourn will be comforted. This is what it means to be saved. With God's blessing, Mary becomes a witness to God's great work of salvation. Mary sings of God's claim upon her life. Generations will see her blessing because God has looked favorably, not on her greatness, not upon her wealth, not upon her power, but upon her humble poverty and faith. Her life, her song shall be the hope for countless others like her. The God whom Mary praises, our God, is mighty yet intimate. A God who invites people to participate in God's great work of salvation by sharing in their lives. A God whose claim upon ordinary, faithful people brings salvation to the world and hope to people of faith. Mary sings of God's claim upon her life, and she praises God for God's blessing. Yet Mary sees clearly God's saving work is not about her. God has a concern for the poor and powerless, and God shall not be moved. In every generation, God's mercy is for those who fear God, people of faith, who turn to God in humility and hope. Mary sings of her hope for the world. God has shown strength. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones. God has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God's child, her child, will do all of this and more to save the world, to save us. What are we to do with these words? The God in whom Mary rejoices, our God, is a God who passionately defends the poor and the powerless, and most of us, my friends, are neither. What are we to do with these words? We can't ignore them. When we read the Bible, there is no question. God has a heart for the poor. The life of Christ bears witness to this. We can't ignore these words. Yet to take them literally makes little sense and leaves us with no hope. Should the poor become rich and powerful, would they not in turn be judged? Should the rich be made empty, would they not in turn stand in need of God's mercy? Where is God's grace in this constant churning of wealth and power? We can't ignore Mary's song of hope. Yet to hear it literally leaves us with little hope. My friends, I am challenged by Mary's words. What does it mean for me, standing in a place of privilege, to serve a God who has a passion for the poor and oppressed? I don't always know. I do often miss the mark. But I embrace this truth nevertheless, and I find hope when I see how Mary's song has shaped my life. Beloved, as a pastor, I have been blessed beyond measure by people of faith who are poor. People of faith who suffer beyond measure, yet proclaim the goodness of God. People of faith who hope beyond hope. And were it not for Mary's song of hope, I certainly would have overlooked them and gone my own way, never hearing the song of hope they sing. Sisters and brothers, I do believe God is at it again. Not necessarily in a baby born in a New York City manger that will grow up to be God's Messiah, but in Mary's song, a song of hope that is being sung from generation to generation. And we are part of the chorus. This morning, I'd hoped to show a new video John Bullington has made for us, but with everything else, I'm unable to. We'll find another way for you to see it. John's video is a Christmas card of sorts. Like so many of the videos John and others, such as Brian Ray, Mike Burgess, and Jeff Hickman have made this year, John's new video shows how God is at work in our life together, with the carol, O Holy Night, sung in the background. We see scenes of our ministry from this past year. We see children of all ages enjoying Vacation Bible School. We see our youth involved in mission work and our confirmation class, too. We see our adults as well, active in mission, fellowship, and service. We are gathered together in worship, young and old, traditional, nexus, and core. There are pictures from Verse on Tap, Young Adult Happy Hour, and Pedal Pub with the pastors. Yes, even Presbyterians can have fun. There are pictures from Crop Walk and Cedar Campus and Hiawatha Land. There are pictures of the Scottish Festival and our madrigals. Beloved, these are but a few verses from the song of hope we sing. Truly, God has looked with favor on us And we are blessed that God has claimed our lives and our life together and given us a song of hope to sing. Thanks be to God.